I'm just going to start with one more quick video clip.
Hi.
Take off your shoes. Oh, take your shoes off. You're not in a barn.
Well, what's going on?
Okay, you see, Marie, this is what I'm talking about. You're so obsessed with the house being clean. Look what you're doing to your son.
Fine. Put your shoes back on and gallop around here all you want.
What?
Put them back on.
What are you doing?
Everyone wants me to change. I can change. I'm taking the covers off.
Well, where are we going to sit?
You can sit right here on the couch, because I don't care about these things anymore. I'm nothing if I'm not flexible.
What are you saying, Marie? We can sit on the couch?
Be my guest, Frank.
Go ahead.
So, we can really sit there? On the actual couch?
I'd enjoy.
You first.
I can change. I can let go. It's nice fabric, isn't it?
It's very nice.
Hey, what about you, Marie? You spent all these years knocking yourself out cleaning. You should enjoy this.
That's right. Thank you, Deborah. Excuse me? This is nice. Happy. My family comes first. You might want to take those cushions outside and shake them out first.
All right, we're talking this morning about the mother wound. And for those of you familiar with the Everybody Loves Raymond show, probably not surprising that we used that clip talking about the mother wound, which is really what that show is all built around, is an over-involved mother and the way that that can influence. And most of the show is a real humorous look at that, but for people living in those type of situations, there comes a lot of times where it's not humorous at all. And we're going to take a look at that this morning. I've got a boatload of information to cover, so I hope that we can get through it all. We have combined the two sessions, session 7 and session 8. I think I'm going to be catching all of the information to fill in the blanks, but we may skip a couple spots. That kind of flows together, so hopefully it's not confusing at all. You know, as we're starting to take a look at manhood, I think we've said is built on, at least there's two pillars, two strong legs that each man needs to stand on. And one of those legs is an involved father. And Jason spent 2 weeks discussing the father wound and some of the father's influences in our lives. And the second one is a nurturing mother. And if you happen to be in a situation where you're missing one of those legs, maybe you feel like your legs have been amputated or you've been crippled in a way without having that, and there is healing, there is restoration, and we can build on those legs. We can build on our experiences and use the men around us to build us up. This is a session that when I first started attending Encourage Men, I think I even said to somebody, well, in fact, I had started the first session that I attended, I had started halfway through, and the wound sections were all gone, but I was impacted by some of what was shared, and I went back and I listened to all the sections. And I told somebody, I'm going to listen to all of them. I said, I think I might just skip the mother wound sections because that's not me. I've got a great mom, and, you know, love my mom, never really had any issues with my mom. But I decided I would take a listen to them anyway. Well, I listened to them, and I went back, and I listened to them again, and I became very convicted, and I realized that this was completely me, and I needed to do some reevaluation and take a real close look at especially some of the ways that I was interacting with my wife. We're not here to pick on mom, just like we're not here to pick on dad. We're here to take responsibility for leading in our homes. We're here to take responsibility for finding ways to heal these wounds. And we are, you know, we're looking away to take, but we need to take an honest look. We need to take an honest look at the past and speak truth about what has taken place and how it has impacted us and how we can reshape our future. Without our moms, we wouldn't even be alive, wouldn't have survived with it. And we're not here to discuss, you know, Sigmund Freud and his warped, what I believe, be very warped perspective on how mothers have impacted our lives. But there's some very specific things with the mother influence that can be very, very powerful. Sometimes that influence can leave a wound and can damage the male psyche. Kevin is an example of this. Let me read you an illustration from Kevin's life. Kevin loved his wife. He adored her, but he was not strong enough in his own right to say no to her. The chief area that he experienced this was in his own need for a time with a hobby or with friends. When he wanted space in which to pursue a hobby or to be with friends, she wanted him home. He could not stand up for his own separateness. He would comply, then resent her. Then his feelings of love for her would begin to disappear. This pattern continued until finally his resentment built up to the point that he left her. He complained that he felt smothered and controlled. What he could not see was this was his own fault. Kevin had never established boundaries with his own mom. A strong-willed woman, she was content to be in control of him, and he had never left her. So instead of leaving mom and cleaving to his wife, he turned his wife into mom and left her instead. This is one of the most common divorce scenarios that occur in men's lives. Men see the controlling woman as the problem, but they fail to deal with their own flimsy boundaries. If they had established good boundaries with their mothers, they would not fear being controlled by their wives or girlfriends. They're not strong enough to deal with that influence, so they leave. Most of what Kevin was dealing with was unfinished business. And some of you may be thinking, not so sure about that. Stick with me. becoming a person requires a break with mom. And to become a man requires two significant breaks with mom. The first break is from physical bondedness. My wife and I have 7 children. I was privileged to be there for the birth of all 7. And all 7 of them, through the process, the baby comes out, this miracle that is life. And it's just an incredible experience. And then the midwife will hand me a scissors and say, "You want to cut the cord?" And I have always said, "Absolutely yes." And suddenly, this baby, who was just one with mom physically, literally one with mom, is now cut. That connection is cut. And that baby needs to survive on its own. That is a simple break for me. That's neat. For some mothers, it is not an easy. That it can lead into that after the birth can lead into postpartum depression, and that can be a very, very significant break for mom. Second break that is required a little bit later is a break from emotional bondedness. This is a break that is much, much more difficult. And as we're going to see a little bit later, this break, even if, and I had a great mom. We're going to be talking about some how to deal with maybe some marriage issues if your mom is still significantly involved in your married life today, which is a break that needs to occur. My mom did not do that, but I carried that influence with me, that emotional connectedness I kept with me, and tried to plug that into my wife, and that doesn't work. We go from just a little graphic here of an overview of the breaks required and the relationship changes that need to occur between man and woman. We go from oneness with mom, literally, to a healthy physical separation. There must be a physical separation. And I just think that's one of the neatest things to be a part of. To a healthy emotional separation, as your son starts getting older, you need to look for a way to. It's so much better if dad is there to walk through that emotional separation, and then to a oneness with a woman, a relationally, and return in and keep that relationship in a proper perspective. In Scripture, "For this cause a man shall leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." So let's take a look at the definition. Here's the definition of a mother wound. "An unhealthy emotional relationship with mother that causes a son to either be threatened by the influence of women later on in life, or to over-identify and become submissive to that influence." There's two very distinct ways of reacting to that mother wound. And again, this was me. I was a second born of 3 boys. My older brother seemed to find it easy. Got a lot to take responsibility. I was the second born, and I enjoyed being around the house. I enjoyed cooking, those kind of things, and not that. That makes you less of a man to enjoy those things. But I identified with my mom probably more than my dad. And one of the things that I did is I did not necessarily step up and take responsibility for who I was. So the day I got married, I really didn't do a lot of shopping for my own clothes. I never packed my own lunch. I almost never got myself out of bed. My mom did that. I never thought that seemed strange. And yet, and then I got married, I moved out, and my mom did not carry on influence into my life, but that emotional dependence I took with. and I tried to plug that into my wife. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that a little later. Let's look at some important characteristics of this wound. This wound is not blatant, but subtle, which is why most of us that have experienced this or are experiencing this, when we first hear about the mother wound, we say, nah, you know, that's, I'm fine. Our wives might have a different story, but we may not see it. This wound is not one of abuse, neglect, or absenteeism, as in the father wound, but it's a wound disguised as love and care. And it's not intentional. It's love and care, and but the problem is that love and care goes too far, and for to become a man requires that emotional break. It's not a wound of inattention, but overattention. And sometimes, often without even realizing it, as in the story of Kevin that I had just read. Inside, the man in you is trying to get out and feels oppressed and controlled. This wound looks like love, but it feels like control. And again, it's a subtle control, one that we may not always be aware of. But it's so powerful it can wrongly shape or warp the masculine psyche. And it's the kind of shaping to this day. Some of you were here when I shared this last year, and it's still today is a tendency that I fight to lean on that dependence. This little thing here says, "Next session, Mrs. Bentlow, I'd like your son to solo." How does it occur? And again, it begins with us men. It often begins with an absent or distant father. Very often, it is not a significant risk if you as a father are significantly involved in your children's lives. And this doesn't mean to just be there for the big stuff. This stuff happens. This is on a daily basis. And I think that's one of the things that I've been reminded of. It's so easy to get lax and not be involved in the little things each day. It's on the daily basis. It's the way you flesh out your life with your wife and your children that determines whether or not you feel like an absent or distant dad, or whether you are there and connected. How does this wound occur? We talk about four different types of moms. First type of mom is an ignorant mom. It's the most common. And it comes along with the natural tendency of a woman is to be nurturing. And so it just comes natural to continue that nurturing. And most moms are completely unaware of what they may be doing to their sons. Is your teenage son dependent on his mom for haircuts, clothes, everything? You might want to start thinking about some of this. Were you able to take responsibility for yourself? Another type of mom is a needy, hurting moms. An absent husband or father that's just not there. And mom connects with the son to fill that void. She doesn't have that relationship with her husband. She's looking for an emotional connectedness with man, doesn't find it in her husband, starts plugging into her son and to fill that void. Third kind of moms, unwilling to release moms. Yeah. So does your mom call up your wife and say, we'll see you guys at... we're having Christmas at our house on this date. Bam, that's it. But we've always done that. And I know of a situation where the wife was going, but I wanted to do this. We wanted to have our own Christmas this year. I thought we were going to do this. And what do? You say, well, we better keep Mom happy and just let Mom control that portion of your lives. Is your mom unwilling to release or not connecting, unwilling to release you and still leading that control in your life? The fourth kind is fill-in-the-gap moms. An absent father, and the mother just fills in because she has to. The only problem is she is not a man. She usually cannot fill the role. And if the father is gone, that makes it very, very difficult to walk that son through that transition. One mother that was able to do that successfully was Robert E. Lee's mother. Robert E. Lee's father was a cavalry officer in the Revolutionary War under George Washington, dashing, brave soldier, but he was gone. When Robert E. Lee was 5, his father went bankrupt and had to flee to the Caribbean to get away from creditors, and he never saw his father again. As Robert E. Lee started approaching 14, 15, his mom started taking some drastic action, and they were poor, but they were still part of the aristocracy, and she was able to connect with a couple of senators, and she was able to get him into West Point at a very young age. And there was men in his lives that she was able to turn him over to and turn him into a man and the leader that he became. Some results of this mother wound. And what we're doing now is skipping into the session 8 here. But men can react to this mother wound in two different ways. Prentice Tipton in The Crisis in Black Manhood said, "One tendency for boys growing up in such circumstances is to rebel against women who are authorities over them and become socially disruptive, irresponsible in family and work commitments, overly assertive about their manly prowess, especially in sexual areas, or leading lives of characterized by violence and crime, alcoholism, and other addictions. A second tendency for young men is to identify with the adult women who are authorities in their lives and learn to behave or react in ways that are more appropriate to women than men. To the extent that young males take either option, they do not learn discipline, the responsibility, and the character involved in being a man." We're talking about the incredible influence mom has over a man's life. Many mothers are not able to let go at marriage either, and their sons carry that influence with them, or they take it with them. Like I said, that's what I did. You see, every man needs a moment when he knows he became a man. If you didn't have a dad, connect with other men. Find some way to connect with other men. When mom and dad failed to support us the way they should have supported us, then you get the question, what do I do if those legs of manhood are broken? Maybe you feel like you have braces, or there's just walking on stumps. Then what? And the answer is you don't quit. Don't play the victim. Don't blame others. You stand as much as you can like a man and start moving forward. That's what you need to do, and we need each other, and that's what we're here to talk about, how to walk through this wound. Some major consequences of this wound. Sons can be overly passive in regard to women. They continue to yield to that influence. You know, I wanted my wife to take care of me in every facet of my life, and then I wanted her to have sex with me. And that just didn't, it's a warped relationship. It doesn't work. One of the results is you'll get what I'll call the soft male, or where it just doesn't, again, where it just doesn't have the ability to stand up and take responsibility. You might want to know why fantasy and porn is included there. And one of the reasons is that for men that have struggling with this influence, that get connected with pornography, they find that they can, they find in pornography a relationship where they can be the leader, where they're not controlled, where they can control the subjects. Yes, it's a fraudulent relationship, but at that point, it feels like he is stepping into his manly role. God designed for us to be connected emotionally, spiritually, and physically with our wives. And when we short-circuit that, we get a fraud and a strengthening addiction that just won't let go. A lot of times those inadequacies goes back to mom. Second result is what we call a feminized man. Now, not effeminate, not someone that sounds or talks like a lady, but just a soft, when we talk about the feminized man, talking about someone who responds more appropriately to ways that usually the more appropriate for a woman to respond. Not taking initiative, not stepping out and leading. And the last one is what we call the passive husband, who is connected with a mother-wife. The physical break has happened, but the emotional break never happened. And if that emotional break never happens, if you will, we as men walk around with an emotional umbilical cord. And then when we get married, we plug that into moms all our lives, and we get married, we plug that into our wives and look for that same needs to be met. And that's what I did. I connected into my wife, and it was sought. I mean, we didn't realize it. I was seen by most as a leader. I was a paramedic. I can step into a scene on an emergency and take charge, put people where they need to be, make it happen. And yet at home, I was a wimp. A warrior at work and a wimp at home. I think we talked about that. And I wanted Michelle to get me up in the morning. I wanted, and one of the things that came out that I started realizing when I started looking at this is this, in our relationship, in my marriage, this started way back when we first started dating. Because I needed that emotional connectedness. It strengthened this. I think this can happen a lot, though. But when it came to physical standards in our dating relationship, I did not take the initiative and I did not take responsibility. The standards got set as far as she would let me go. And from people that I've talked to, I think it sounds like that's usually what happens. Now, we had a pure dating relationship, okay? It wasn't that we were impure before marriage. In fact, the very first day that I kissed my wife was on our wedding day. I'm proud of that. I think that was an accomplishment. But it wasn't necessarily my accomplishment. In my relationship with my wife, I abdicated the throne because of my physical desires. I wanted my physical and my emotional desires. I wanted those met by my wife. And yes, there's certainly a lot of give and take in a marriage relationship that's very valuable. But that's where those standards got set. She needed to take the responsibility because I didn't. And what that did is set the tone. And when I realized that, I went to my wife and I challenge you. If that was your case, if you have not taken responsibility, that can warp your marriage relationship for a long time. Get on your knees before your wife. That's what I did. I got on my knees and said, please forgive me for not taking my responsible role in our relationship. And you know, she was gratefully willing to do that. And I made a commitment to strive to begin to take that role. But it doesn't come easy. If you have abdicated the throne and become passive because you need your emotional needs met with mom, or the needs that were met by your mom now met by your wife, the way that we go on reacting on a daily basis doesn't come easy. This really came to light for me. And this was long after I had talked to my wife about this, and we had started, you know, and I had made the commitment to be more of a leader and less of a passive husband in our marriage. We were playing a little game. I think I shared this story last year. We were playing a little game called Imagine If. Has anybody ever played that? A couple people. So it's just a silly little game where, say, imagine if so-and-so was a roller coaster. What type of roller coaster would they be? Or if somebody was an animal, what kind of animal would they be? And one of the situations that it was with my parents and my brother, we were playing this game. And the situation that came up, it was a group question. And it said, imagine if, I don't remember what, an orange sea monster was coming through the door. And you were all fearful for your lives. Which one of the group would be the first to sacrifice his life to save the others? And you know, everybody around that table picked me except for my wife. And we laughed about it. It was funny. And I was laying in bed that night, and it just hit me again. I said, you know, and it was almost like God said to me, you know, the reason that that's happened is because you've lived as a sacrificial leader to everyone else in your life except for your wife. And I had done that because I wanted my emotional and physical needs met by my wife. And so rather than being a sacrificial leader to my wife, I became the passive husband. And all I was doing was taken from her. The opposite consequence can also occur. Sons can be overly dominant in regard to women as they fight against that influence. What we call a conquering masculinity. Still contending with mom's leadership, don't know how to deal with it, and when we take it out on the world. And then later we see mom as a threat to that masculinity. In extreme cases, it can even lead to violence, abuse, affairs, rape. Robert Lewis says this, that rape is a guy who's so threatened by women that this is his way of getting even. And many times, those roots go way back to how mom was involved in our lives. Second one is we can have a fierce independence. And a fear of being vulnerable. And just simply refusing to open up and become vulnerable to our wives because we can't have fought against that influence so long, closing out the women in our lives. And then we have also the demanding husband who just, this is the guy who rules his wife with an iron fist. So many times when mom steps in and picks up the ball when dad drops it. And what our responsibility is to tell our wives, and this is the first thing I told my wife, I said, I want you so much to stop picking up the ball. For years, you know, as a teenager, my mom picked up the ball anytime I may have dropped it. And I continued to depend on that influence. And, you know, my mom did it out of love. And she was great. And she knew that she needed to let go. And I'm so grateful that she did not carry that influence literally over when I got married. She did let go. And I'm so grateful for that. But I carried that influence with me. So those are the two extreme forms of behavior that we can react, but I really believe that we're all somewhere on that spectrum and that we can all find ways to connect with this and learn to take more responsibility in our lives. And even the best moms of all struggle with this. Did you know Jesus' mom struggled with this? We're going to take four quick snapshots into Jesus' relationship with his mother. As they were returning after spending the full number of days, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but his parents were unaware of it, but supposed him to be in the caravan. And went a day's journey, and they began looking for him among their relatives and acquaintances. When they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem looking for him. Then, after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his answers. When they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us this way?" Notice who's stepping front here. It's not Joseph stepping in saying, "Why?" Mary's taking the lead here. "Behold, your father and I have been anxiously looking for you." And he said to them, "Why is it that you were looking for me? Did you not know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand the statement which he had made to them. Of all people, don't you think Mary should have caught on first? Gabriel had come to her, said that his name's Emmanuel, God with us. But in this moment, at 12 years old, Jesus is starting to establish some relational clarity. He says, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I needed to be in my father's house?" And they didn't understand it. And I think if you listen closely, you'll hear an emotional umbilical cord being cut. It's just an invisible one, but at that moment, Jesus is establishing some relationship. He's establishing his identity with his father, which is what needs to happen in each man's life. Social clarity. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus and his disciples were invited to the wedding. When the wine ran out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what do I have to do with you? My hour is not yet come." Cut. I think if you listen, you can hear that. You know, it's a party. People are there having fun together. Jesus' mother says to him, "They have no wine." And you kind of, you know, maybe it's just a suggestion, perhaps, and yet orders are being given. You know, in the end of that video clip, when Marie said to shake out the cushions, do you think that was a suggestion or an order? I think all of us know that was an order. And so often that relationship with mom, that's the subtle influence that can have in your life. And if you don't see it, your wife does. And if your wife starts complaining, calling you, hopefully she doesn't call you a mama's boy, but if she does, you might want to start evaluating that. But you know, you can almost hear him saying, you know, right now he's a 30-year-old man. What do I have to do with you? Or maybe he's like saying, don't push me. Don't tell me what to do. Or maybe, you know, saying, take your umbilical cord away from me. I don't need it. A third situation, spiritual clarity. While he was still speaking to the crowds, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak with him. Someone said to him, "Behold, your mother and brothers are standing outside seeking to speak with you." But Jesus answered the one who was telling him. Now, he didn't go out and talk to his mom. He's simply there and in the group. So the one who was telling him said, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And stretching his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold, my mother and my brothers." Who is my mother? Oh, wow. Cut. You know, go tell mom that. That sounds rough. And you might say, boy, that doesn't sound like a very good relationship. But I think if you look, I think you can see Jesus honoring his mother throughout his life. But he also was making the relationship very clear, just like he did in the temple. And his identity came from his father. "For whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my mother and sister and mother." Their relationship comes to a really neat ending, I think, in Scripture at the cross. And as Jesus is being crucified, John paints this picture. Standing near the cross were Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own house. Behold your son. And then he's turning around, and even in his pain and agony, he is seeing that she gets protected, that she gets taken care of. He is stepping up and taking that responsibility. I almost wonder if he's telling her, here's your son, a man. And I don't know if she understood it there watching him die, but I wonder if she didn't maybe sort of know that this needed to happen, and he's saying, you would have never put me here. You know, you loved me too much. You cared for me too much. But he became a man, and he turns in the midst of his pain and anger, pain and anguish, and says, you know, John, behold your mother. And that's the way it should be in adulthood. We should be stepping up, taking that responsibility with our mothers, moving quickly for healing this wound. If that, you know, and for many of us, and for me, it was just simply the healing this wound. I needed to take a different relational bent with my wife. I needed to take a different relational system, if you will, with my wife. The daily ways of interacting. For some of us, we need to be more drastic than that. If mom is still significantly involved in controlling your life and your marriage, some very much more painful breaks need to occur. Always start with understanding that breaking mom over-involvement is good for you and her. Authentic manhood is impossible without it. Second, recognize that your ultimate goal is to become a man whose vision is fixed on what God thinks, not what mom thinks. Or anyone else for that matter. That's what authentic manhood is based on establishing our identity with God. Jesus said, "He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." Real manhood begins to ask this question, God, what kind of man do you want me to be? And I believe that's the question that all of you are asking, and that's why you're here this morning. All right. Third, stop complaining or struggling with mom. If you have this wound, get the support, encouragement, and help you need from other men or a counselor. And develop a plan for healthy independence from mom. This needs to be a healthy feedback. This is the kind of thing you can do significantly damage in every area of your life if you go swinging in an axe and determine, you know what, I've been passive, I'm going to go, and it's very, very easy to swing the other extreme and go and damage every relationship in your life. That's not the goal here. The goal is to restore relationships. But the other men in your life, invite their feedbacks to avoid serious errors in making a healthy break. Three things about the plan that you need to come up with for a healthy break. The plan should address specific issues that are troublesome with specific applications. You know, if it is Christmas, if it's holidays, if it's daily life, you need to list those specific issues that are going to be addressed. This plan should establish time-tested boundaries for how you and mom will interact in the future. Now remember, you're going to establish these boundaries. Not her, not your wife. You. Don't go home and ask your wife, should I establish better boundaries with my mom? You may want to have that conversation with her and get her input and hear from her how she views your relationship with your mom, but this is your initiative, not hers. This plan should include clear consequences attached to boundary violations. You know, you want to make sure that you're still honoring your mom, but whether it's involvement with raising the kids, cleaning house. Maybe every Sunday you've always gone to your mother's house for Sunday lunch. And maybe some of those things need to change. Maybe you're going to start your own Christmas celebration this year or set those boundaries. And that is so important that you are getting involved. Don't just say, tell your wife and say, nope, call my mom, tell her we're not coming for Christmas this year. Communicate your plan in one of the following ways to your mom and stand your ground regardless of how she responds. And either through a new way of relating or through a face-to-face meeting if necessary. You know, maybe this just needs to be you examining yourself and say, all right, and get the men in your life to discuss this out and say, I'm going to start trying to relate to my mom and my wife in a little bit different way. You're going to feel a little boy inside you want to take over, but stand your ground. God's called you to leave and cleave to your wife. Keep moving forward. Maybe it needs to be as harsh as a face-to-face meeting, but if you feel the need for that significant of a break, make sure you're discussing it with the men in your life and that you're walking into this carefully and not going to cause any significant damage. Use those men in your life to report back to for clarity, encouragement, and accountability. We're going to talk about male cheerleaders in a couple weeks. And when we talk about mentors, that is so critical. We need those other men in our lives to walk us through this. Especially if your mom reacts angrily or tries to punish you in some way. If you're married, tell your wife you recognize the problem with an interfering mom and that you will take responsibility to correct it. Ask her for her support and prayers, but ask her not to get involved. It's your problem, not hers. So much of this authentic manhood is about taking responsibility, and this is one area that's so crucial that you step up and take responsibility. In some cases, your efforts to establish a healthy relationship with mom will result in a time of emotional punishment or even your mom's angry withdrawal. And that's when it gets tough. That's when you may want to wilt. Don't. Stand your ground. In time, she will adjust. And it may take a while. Let me give you a story. This is a real-life letter out of Men's Frat that was written by a guy who did this very thing. He had a difficult relationship with his mother. This guy's 40 years old, and his mom had sent him some angry letters. And he sent this response to his mom after he finally drew up a plan. He said to her, "Dear Mom, I want to be honest with my feelings about you, so I will throw away my natural timidity and say what I think. Many aspects of your recent letter to me are like the worst aspect of our adult mother-son relationship this past 20 years. Two words come to mind to describe this relationship: domination and manipulation. I feel like any time I resist your dominant will, then your response is manipulative, particularly to induce the emotion of guilt in me. Oftentimes in the past, this has worked, although to no one's satisfaction. Hopefully we can now break this cycle. I will continue to honor you as my mother, but I cannot fulfill your needs in any area. We can acknowledge this without going to the extreme of a totally cut-off relationship. I suggest to you that if you find our relationship very painful, then your expectations from it are not proper. I had asked that we may have a right relationship as a mother to son before the Lord. Please recognize that as a grown man, I must follow the call to be a man, no longer tied to his mother. I must follow the biblical command to leave my parents' home and to cleave to my wife. And please do not use emotional manipulation techniques on me in the future, for I am planning to resist it from now on. This letter is from me, not from my wife. I plan to let Betty read it before I send it, but only myself and you can be accountable for our relationship. Betty is neither the cause nor the solution to our relational problems, and she never has been, although in the past you have blamed her as the cause. This will no doubt be a slow-moving struggle, but it's time to work on a new kind of relationship between us. I love you, and I await your reply." That's pretty good, isn't it? It's honest, it's straightforward, and it was a relationship that needed drastic action. But it was honoring and honest. Here's his mom's reply. "Dear son, maybe there is no legal means for you to get rid of me as your mother or as a mother-in-law, but I can sure try to make it easier for you to be free of me emotionally. I hereby grant you permission to forget I exist or ever was or ever will be a part of your life or the lives of your children. I realize that is the way it is anyway, But just in case you occasionally feel burdened with the fact that I actually do exist and you have to put up with me, I want to remove that obstacle for you. I'll admit that I'm not doing this just for you and the kids, as I am truly weary of the hostility and rejection, as well as the shattered hopes and dreams I had for us. I have waited so long for us to be friends, the kind of friends that I believe we once were. It's not easy to say goodbye to such an important part of my life, but you really left me no choice. With all the love I'll hold in my heart for you both, your ex-mom. P.S. I know how Jesus felt when he spoke in Matthew 23. Oh, how I have longed to gather you together as a hen gathers a chick under her wings, but you were not willing. Kind of get the picture of why such a drastic letter was needed. This is real. And that's tough, isn't it? I'll bet that was real. But you know what? He stuck through it. And she got back, the relationship was restored, and she got back a man as well as a son. She will adjust. I want to take a U-turn here. I know we're running out of time, and I want to get you to a small group. But I want to take there is a critical need today for fathers to call teenage sons away from dependency on mom to manhood. And again, your teenage sons, mom should not be waking them up in the morning. Mom should not be responsible for getting them their haircuts. Again, how you flesh this out in your life is up to you. I'm just sharing some of my feelings on this. Mom is not going to be their dating counselor. All right? These are areas that you need to be involved on a daily basis in their lives. This call away, and I firmly believe this call away needs to be clear and direct. It's a call saying, come with me, come join me. Come join me in being a man. And define what it means to be a man. We're going to get you a very, very clear definition of what it means to be a man. I'd encourage you to share that with your sons. This call away needs to be embraced by the son, the dad, and the mom to be effective. My oldest is 12, so I'm just beginning this journey. I don't pretend to be the authority on this, but I just wanted to share some of the things that I'm trying in our lives. He just started 7th grade this year. Back to school shopping, I took him. Now, my wife found it a little frustrating because I didn't know where all the bargains were. But it was something that we did. It wasn't something that's easy to do. When it comes to his homework, his mom is still helping him with a bunch of that, but I'm trying to get as involved as I can that he comes to that I walk through that homework with him. And those are the daily things. It's a way of relating, of saying, making it very clear that his identity comes with you. And it's not painless. It is not a painless break. Third, this call, I believe, needs to employ ceremony. A ceremony or maybe a series of ceremonies that a boy can look back into and say, I became a man. One of the things we started with, my plan is to do one at 10th birthday and 13th birthday. We've done that when he turned 10, we had a little birthday parties there. The grandparents were around, and I said, I had asked, connected each of the grandfathers and says, I want you to bring something to say, something to share with Darren as he begins his journey before adolescence, something to challenge him and bless him. And then I want to have a prayer of blessing over him as he's it's 2 digits, so we made a big deal out of him turning 2 digits, and we had a birthday party there, and it was just a small party, just family. And then I said, all right, I want, and we all went back, just grandparents and myself and my son into a back study, and you could see it pulled on mom. You know, she wanted to be there, wanted to be a part of that. But I said, no, this is just the men. And that meant a little something to my son. He sat there and listened, and some mementos were given. I wrote him a little letter. And, you know, when we had moved to Jamaica for a little while, and the things, we said that he he can't pack a whole lot, but he had a suitcase that he could take things along. And those were the only things that he said he absolutely has to have along, were the things that were given in that little ceremony. And then we prayed a little prayer of blessing over him. And I plan to hold a much, much larger event when he turns 13. That's kind of going to be the big one, but kind of use that to lead up to it. So however you see that, but make sure that you are relating with your sons in a way that makes it clear. In conclusion for this morning, the legs of masculinity, weak or strong, on which a man stands are established at home. Restore relationships. Thank your parents. Tell them you love them. But make sure that those relationships are established in a healthy way. Finally, start working on your manhood plan now. If some of the stuff that's been shared, especially in the last 3 weeks, have started to hit you, are you taking notes on page 92 of your workbook? Start answering some of those questions. Start writing some of that stuff down. And get the men in your life, get the men in your small group or other men in your life involved in establishing the relationships in a way that honors and glorifies God. Corey?
Thank you, Anthony, for being very transparent this morning with us.